Hey guys, this is Jason. Today's episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast is presented by Compassion International, the most trusted child development ministry in the world. And this is a great way for you to get involved with Compassion by checking out the website, compassion.com/sportspectrum. You'll see a list of children there. I'm talking about places all over the world, Bangladesh, Bolivia, Colombia, Indonesia, Peru, Ghana, Uganda. Just amazing, an amazing list when you go to this website and you see these kids who have been waiting for some over 800 days. Kids that are 5, 6 years old waiting to be released from poverty for only $38 per month. And you have this opportunity right now to sponsor a child. And what happens is you sponsor them, you have this tax-deductible contribution of $38 a month. It connects a child, like I said, living in poverty with a loving, church-driven child sponsorship program that you can be directly connected with that child. And your support provides medical checkups, nutritional food, health and hygiene training, mentoring, educational assistance, and most of all, every sponsored child, your sponsored child, will hear about Jesus Christ and encouraged to develop a lifelong relationship with God. Go to compassion.com/sportspectrum right now, pray about it, and consider sponsoring a child today in Jesus' name. compassion.com/sportspectrum.
Welcome into the Sports Spectrum Podcast, where we bring Jesus into the sports conversation. Here's your host for today, Jason Romano.
And welcome to the show. I am Jason, and this is the Sports Spectrum Podcast, the intersection of sports and faith, and sometimes a little bit more. And today is one of those conversations. First, before we get to our interview with Carlos Penavega, I want to tell you about our website, sportspectrum.com, updated every day. Great content, articles, devotionals, podcasts, testimonials, wonderful resources that you can share with your family and with your friends about sports, but really a great way to share the gospel, all of them pointing to Jesus Christ. And so check it out at sportspectrum.com. That is the website each and every day that you can go check out, sportspectrum.com. Now today on the show, I mentioned Carlos Penavega. He is our guest. He's an actor. He's a singer. You might know him from his work with the show Big Time Rush, which was on Nickelodeon for many years. He played the character Carlos Garcia. He's married to his wife, Alexa, who is also an actor, a child star, really famous for the Spy Kids movies. You might remember those back in the early 2000s. But Carlos is a lot of fun. And my daughter, who's now 18 and in college at Indiana Wesleyan, and I'm just so excited for her. But she is a huge fan of Big Time Rush. And when she was, you know, 9, 10, 11 years old, she started watching that show, and I didn't know what it was. I just knew that it was sort of this slapstick comedy kind of fun, you know, show about young guys in this band, and she loved it. And it was a clean show, which is always a good thing. And she's still a fan of them. At 18, she still loves their music, and they have a lot of good songs out there. And so when I was presented with this opportunity to talk to Carlos, Sarah told me, you got to talk to him, Dad. He's got a really cool story. He's married. He loves Jesus. He's got a couple kids. And now he's an author. He wrote this new book, What If Love Is the Point, with his wife, Alexa, that released back in June. He's got a new kids book coming out in October. And I thought, yeah, let's do the interview. Let's talk to Carlos. And you won't find a nicer guy that we've had on this podcast than Carlos Penavega. And he's got a really big platform. I mean, his first acting gig goes back to when he was 15 years old on the show ER, and he's still doing his thing. He lives in Maui now, and kind of, you know, him and his wife have dedicated their lives to really raising their kids, being good parents, and keeping Jesus at the center of their lives. And we had a really good conversation here about sports. We talked about some of the sports that Carlos likes, including the Seattle Seahawks, but then got into the idea of faith. He's got a wonderful testimony of coming to Christ at 23 years old, and then maybe some encouragement at the end of the interview for my daughter and so many of the other 18-year-olds that might be fans of Big Time Rush. So take a listen to Carlos Panavega joining us right now on Sports Spectrum. Carlos Panavega, welcome to Sports Spectrum, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's good to talk to you. Big Time Rush was one of the first things that I really saw my daughter get into when she was, I don't know, what's 2010, maybe 2011?
Oh my gosh.
So she was probably 7 or 8 years old, and she would binge watch this thing before binge watching was popular, I guess.
Yeah.
And I said, Sarah, what are you watching? Oh, just Big Time Rush, Dad, Big Time Rush. So when the opportunity to have you on the show came about and I was talking to her, she's like, Dad, you got to have Carlos on. I think he's really cool. You got to have him on. He loves the Lord. I said, all right, well, we're going to have Carlos on. And then, so you and I are talking about sports, and I thought, you know what, your name, because the last name Panavega is the combination of your name, your last name, and your wife's last name, right?
Yep.
So you're Carlos Pena for many years. Obviously you still are, but there's a baseball player named Carlos Pena as well. And I said, do you know about that guy? And you said, yes, that name's come up a few times.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. So when I was, this is probably like 2 years ago, like in the middle of the whole COVID thing, we were stuck at home. We were stuck doing a lot of like Zoom writing sessions for music. And they were the worst because, you know, like you want to feel how it is like in the room. It was the worst. But one of my sessions was with this guy a band called Kolohe Kai. They're like a, you know, Hawaiian band or whatever. And I'm chatting with him and we're like in the middle of the session. He's like, man, I just got to say, my dad is going to be blown away that I'm literally riding with you. And I'm like, I'm thinking like, really? No way. And he's like, it's like, yeah. Like I told him about our session and he just couldn't believe that like Carlos Pena, the baseball player, is also in a huge band and I'm writing music with them and it's just so cool. And I was sitting there and I was like, oh my gosh, this guy thinks I'm Carlos Pena, the baseball player. Oh my.
Did you play it up?
I just kind of let it go by. And then at the very end, I was like, hey man, I just got to tell you something. I was like, I don't play baseball. I'm not that guy, but I didn't know what to say. Because he was so excited that his dad was going to be so pumped that he was riding with this epic baseball player, and that was not me.
Oh, my gosh. So did you have to go into the full explanation of why people might recognize you or whatever?
I did. And again, I saved it for the end of the session because I didn't want to have to bring it up. And he was so excited to be working with me, too, that I was like, I don't want to kill his vibe if like he's if he's excited because I'm the supposed baseball player. I was like, okay, just roll with it.
Well, the funny thing is, my name is Jason Romano, and if you Google it, you'll find some stuff on this podcast and me, but there's another Jason Romano, same exact spelling, who played baseball with the Dodgers in like 2000. So a few people have had conversations with me and said, hey, so what was it like to play baseball in the majors? And I said, that's not me. That's the other Jason Romano. So you and I are kind of living double lives in some ways.
Oh, yeah, dude. You know. No, and didn't he play for the Rays too?
He did.
Play for the Rays?
Yeah.
He did. And I'm from Florida. So it was like this whole thing. I was like, what?
There you go. Yeah, he's a Tampa Bay Ray for many years, Carlos Pena was. Well, this is Carlos Pena Vega. And I'm excited to talk to you, my friend. This is going to be a really good conversation, not just about sports, but I think going deeper into, you know, why, you know, what the Big Time Rush scene was like, into the book that you've written now with your wife. And I know you have a second book that I saw. It's coming out in October. And you're back on tour with the band. Like, there's just so much going on with you. Let me start with this. Let's get sports sort of, I hate to say, like, out of the way. But let's talk about sports for a minute. Not, you know, the professional athletes that we have on. But you love sports. I know you're a Seahawks fan. We were talking about the fact that Russell Wilson isn't there anymore.
Russell Wilson's gone.
Are you okay with that?
I'm still going to stick with them. You know, I have one of my best friends is a Tom Brady follower. He loves Tom Brady.
Okay.
And he just jumps from team to team. And I was like, I'm not going to be that guy. I was like, no, I'm not going to be that guy. I'm going to stick with the Seahawks, even though Russell's gone. So
where were you a Seahawks fan from? Was it because of Russell or was it something before that?
You really want to know? So I, football, like, okay, so my wife, she had always gone to a bunch of LSU games. Her half her family is from like Louisiana. So she she had an in there with the school because her uncle or something, and she would go to all these games. So when I met her, she was trying to get me to be like, you know, college ball fan. I'm like, no, I don't really like college ball, but like I'll do, you know, pro. And she's like, okay, whatever. So we kind of like didn't really get into it because she was more of a college and I was, you know, pro. And we moved to Maui and I was like, I was so moldable. Like anybody could have come into my life and said, this is your team. And I met this guy, his name was Sean, and he's like a huge Seahawk fan. He's living on Maui now, but he's so much of a fan. Like he's got like 50 yard, like fourth row. Like wow. He is like season ticket holder, Seahawks. He's had them for years. Like those are seats. So one day he's like, hey, do you want to come over to my house and watch Seahawks game? And I'm like, I'm not a huge Seahawks fan. Like I'm not really like a huge fan of anyone, but I'll come. And dude, I was hooked. Like, he got me a jersey. We all wore jerseys. His family was there. We were cheering. And I was like, I'm a Seahawks fan. That's it. And this is like probably 4 or 5 years ago. And I was like, I'm done. That's my team.
You were hooked.
And ever since then, yeah, like I literally got my, like all my kids have little jerseys and we all, you know, the you know, game comes on and we all wear it and sit there. And yeah.
Have you ever gone to a game?
It's a good time.
Have you ever gone to a game in Seattle?
No. And he's invited me so many times. And I'm like, when am I ever going to get a chance to be like 50-yard line, four rows up. So I have to take him up on it at some point.
Absolutely. I heard it's the loudest stadium in the NFL. The fans are insane. And so you got to take advantage of that and report back.
Yeah, but how weird was it during COVID watching the games?
Oh, my gosh.
It was so weird watching it on TV because I'm like, I miss that energy. Like, you know, and then they would try and do the track. You know, it's like.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Were you able to watch the games anyways and still kind of, I don't know, take an active role in rooting for your team? It was hard for me.
Yeah.
I wanted my team to win, but it was hard for me to watch games with no fans. It was so bizarre.
It was weird. It was weird. And especially on Maui, like sometimes the games are 7 a.m. So you're like getting up and you're like, okay, let me throw my jersey on. We got to watch this game, you know?
That's what I was going to say. You're in Maui. We had Jefferson Bethke. I don't know if you know Jefferson at all. I think he's
a good friend of mine.
There you go. So he's a friend of mine too. And he's out there obviously where you live and he's a big sports fan, a big Seahawks fan, I think as well. Yeah. Former baseball player, amazing author. And I asked him, what was it like being a sports fan in Maui? Because all the games, especially on Sunday in an NFL season or even college football on a Saturday, those games are coming on before you're even awake. It's gotta be a different experience.
Yeah. That's how you know that you're a diehard fan. If you get up at 6 a.m. to make your coffee so you can watch the game at 7.
Seriously. I'm in the East Coast up here in Connecticut, and I think the 8:30 p.m. Eastern starts at night to watch the NBA finals or to watch.
It's kind of late.
Sunday night NFL is late. I'm up till midnight. You guys are, you know, game's over and it's still not even dinner time yet.
Yes.
Little jealous.
It's crazy. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Midwest probably has it great. Like everybody in the middle of the country, they're like, it's the middle of the day, then they can still have dinner with their families and then go to sleep.
I think Denver, our offices for Sports Spectrum are in Denver and I go out there once a month or so. I think that's the best location in the United States to watch sports because the games, you know, are 2 hours earlier. Denver's 2 hours behind the East Coast. So they start at, you know, an 8:30 game here in Connecticut starts at 6:30. It's over by 9 and you can actually go to bed at a reasonable time. So I'm a big fan of the Denver, Colorado mountain time zone for sports, Carlos.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. Let's talk about you a little bit. I want to talk about your faith in the Lord because that's a big part of what we do here. We do sports, but we also intersect the conversation with faith, with Jesus. Tell us about your faith and kind of how it's shaped you over the years.
Yeah. So, originally I grew up Catholic and it was kind of like the thing where we just like, you do the first communion, you go, you have your Sunday school while your mom goes to church. And it was very much just checking a box every single week. So I never really had a relationship with Jesus until I was about 23 years old. And I had just come off a tour. And all this is in the book. I am very, very detailed, actually, which is kind of scary, but I was very open. And I come off a tour where I had broken up with a girlfriend and I'd always been in a relationship. So it was the first tour that I was single and I did some things that I'm, you know, not necessarily proud of. And I came home and I was in a really dark place. And I called my buddy, Andrew, who's kind of been like a light, who had been a light in my life for a few years there. but I never really understood why. And I called him, I said, hey man, I'm just in a really bad place. And it's just, how are you always so happy? You know, like, why are you so happy? And he said, Jesus. And I immediately hung up the phone. And I was like, that is not the dude to call, you know? And then I picked up, you know, some weed and I started smoking again. And I was like chilling. And like 2 days later, I found myself in this funk and I was like, what is going on with me? So I call him back and I'm like, okay, just, I need your help, but don't say Jesus, you know? And he invited me to church and I was like, ugh, fine, I'll go to church with you. So I show up at church and it's this little black church in Inglewood, right? And like, they got the big hats, they're worshiping, they're clapping. I mean, it was unreal. And I love music. So for me, I was like, okay, cool, I'm hooked here. And the bishop comes up and the bishop is like, he like preaches his sermon and he goes, when I was 23, and I'm like, huh, I'm 23. He was like, I was smoking weed. Actually, he called it doobies. I was smoking doobies. And I was like, oh, I'm smoking doobies. Yeah. He's like, I was sleeping around. I was like, I'm sleeping around. He was like, I was drinking all the time. I was like, that's me. And he preached this whole sermon that literally he was speaking to me. And I left that church that day and I committed myself to God 100%. And from that moment on, it was like, I was on this path of like on this Jesus high of how do I get more and more. And my buddy Andrew invited me to a Bible study that Thursday. And I was like, duh, I'll be there. Yeah. And turns out my ex-girlfriend was going to be there. So I was like, maybe I can get back with her now that I'm, you know, I'm turning a new leaf. And that actually happened to be the same night that Alexa was invited to her first Bible study. And from then on, like, so I met Lex, we started, you know, hanging out and everything, but we literally got to work on our relationship with God at the same time that we were working on our personal relationship with each other. And it was really cool because our whole like dating was founded in us going to Bible study and going to church. Like that's how we would hang out. Thursday night Bible study, Sunday night church. And then we started adding more throughout the week, but everything was founded in Christ, which was so amazing. So from then on, it's just like my heart was pierced and I was ready to go. And everything that we've done since then literally has been, you know, like my first instinct is like, what would Jesus do? Right. And like, you know, is this for the kingdom? Is what I'm doing, is it for the kingdom? And, I mean, that's been 9-10 years now since then. Wow. Since that moment.
That's a great story. Yeah. I'm glad there's a moment too, because a lot of people that we have on the show, sometimes it's not a moment, it's a gradual process, or maybe they grew up and then, you know, walked away and then came back to faith in college or something like that. A lot of athletes have that story. You have a legit moment similar to mine. I grew up Catholic as well. And there was a moment for me, I was a little older. I was 27 when it just kind of hit me and I understood. I'd never been shown the fact that I could have a relationship with Jesus. That just was never taught to me as a kid growing up. And it changed my life forever as well. You got this book, which I'm really excited about. What If Love Is the Point? Living for Jesus in a Self-Consumed World with your wife, Alexa. Tell me about that walk after making that decision and growing in Christ, growing in your relationship with your wife, Alexa, but still being in the spotlight, being in Hollywood, having people know about you, like we talked about, Big Time Rush, of course, and some of the movies you've done, the music, you're back on tour, a lot of fans know who you are, and sometimes that's taboo when you start bringing up Jesus in conversations with people. What's that been like?
Yeah, it's very taboo. You know, listen, I always tell people that Christianity is not convenient. Like, it's probably the easiest decision, but the hardest thing that I've ever had to do is walk this walk, because you are hit with so many obstacles. And I feel like, you know, like especially with this book launch and the tour, like the enemy has just been trying to take us down, and we've continued to have to be in prayer. And the more work that you're doing for the kingdom, the more that you're going to be attacked. So it's like, it's amazing, but it ain't easy. But nothing great is easy. Like, I always think, like, the things that I like really do enjoy take a lot of work and a lot of effort. But I feel so great that I put that effort and work in. So for me, you know, being on tour is—it's a very—I hate using this word—it's a very secular type of industry.
Of course.
Like the music industry and the movie and TV industry.
So is sports, and, by the way, Carlos. So is sports.
Yeah, oh, there you go. But you know, like most people hear that word, especially like if they're, you know, not a believer, they're like secular. Blah, blah, blah. But it's true. It's like, you know, I'll say like out of our entire crew, there's probably, not including my family, there's probably three of us on tour, you know, our guitarist, our wardrobe stylist, and me, who I've connected with, who love Jesus, you know. And, you know, I think community is such an important part of life, and people forget that finding that like solid base of people is kind of like your key to continuing on and you know, staying grounded. So in terms of my family, like Alexa and I have made a decision that we will always keep the family together. Like I don't care if I have to spend my whole paycheck of this tour to have my family on this on the road. Like I we need to be there for each other. So like we have our own bus, you know, it's me, Alexa, our three kids, and then we have a nanny on board to help us because it's a little crazy. And you know, it's amazing. I get off stage, and if I had a bad day, she's right there, and we pray at night, and then we go to sleep, and I wake up, and my kids are there, and we have a good time. And you know, I just think like our industry is not built for families, and you really have to put the work in to you know, make it work. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I deal with this whole world and being kind of like the outsider to them. To me, I don't feel like an outsider, but to them, I might be the guy on the outside who doesn't cuss, you know, who doesn't drink, who just kind of just like chills and like, you know, does his thing. But
there's a witness in that, right? The Bible talks about being an ambassador for Christ. And I have to imagine, even if you have the enemy and just the world coming at you, maybe, like I said, you know, being taboo, using that name Jesus, there might also be, or I'm sure there has been, opportunities for you to share. And you've seen people respond to that because of the platform that you have. Do you have a story or just maybe just in general, some thoughts about that?
Yeah. You know, there's one word that I really believe in, and it's consistency. You know, I truly try, make me sense. I really try and make sure that I'm consistent in my walk with Jesus. I want someone to look into my life and look at my life and know exactly who I am and know exactly who Jesus is through everything that I say and everything I do. Listen, I do have a lot of patience for people. Alexa has been helping me work through that, especially people who call themselves, you know, followers of Jesus. Like I struggle with, I'm like, what? Like you can't post this and then say this and then put, I mean, you're literally, you're confusing people, right?
Yes, yes.
And she's been teaching me just, hey, you know what, maybe let's just keep praying for them. And you know, we can't change them. All we can do is make sure that our walk is consistent. So what we do is that we just make sure that what you see is what you get. I'm an open book. I'll talk about my downs. I'll talk about my ups, my highs and my lows. You know, the guy who you're talking to right now, I'm going to be the same, you know, with the person who's working at the, you know, counter at the hotel. Like I truly believe that consistency is the key to making, you know, making it work.
Well, you call yourself an open book. You decided to write a book. That's not an easy thing. I've actually written two, and I know it's a very difficult process. Tell us about What If Love Is the Point, and not just writing it yourself, but co-authoring it, right? With your wife.
Yeah. So after Lex and I got married, about a year into our marriage, we did a show called Dancing with the Stars.
Sure.
Listen, it's not sports, but it's very physical.
I've heard of it. It's you know, a little tiny show, right? A few people watched.
That was the best shape I've ever been in my life.
I can't imagine.
Those dancers, and you know, 9 hours of dancing every single day. And after the show, we started having all these questions, and we started this one sheet, right? And it was like, what's the point of marriage? What's the point of not having sex before marriage? What's the point of sharing finances? What's the point of life? What's the point of following Jesus? All of these, what's the points? What's the points? And then, you know, we would pray about it and answer it amongst each other, not thinking anything of it. It was just more of like a kind of an exercise to get closer and, you know, just kind of deepen our relationship with each other and God. And we kind of held on to this one sheet, as the years go by, like, you know, people here and there would ask us and say, hey, have you ever thought about writing a book? I'm like, well, kind of. I mean, here's this one sheet, an idea, and nothing ever happened to it. And that happened probably 3 or 4 times. And speaking of Jefferson Bethke, about a year and a half ago, he sends me a text and he goes, hey, my publisher, Jenny, she wrote me and she saw a video that Alexa made about her eating disorder that she had back in the day. And she'd love to chat with you guys. And I was like, oh, okay, great. Well, great. So, you know, we have this Zoom during COVID and, you know, it's all awkward and hi, whatever. And she's like, have you guys ever thought about writing a book? And I'm like, well, I have this one sheet from like 8 years ago. And we sent it over and she's like, I love the concept. Let's write a book. Wow. I'm like, that's it. We're just going to write a book. And she's like, yeah, here's a book deal. Let's write a book. And, so Lex and I started word vomiting because we're not authors. I mean, I guess now we are, but at the time we were just like, okay, here's our, you know, here's what's coming out of our heart. And, this amazing woman, Margot Starbuck, I have to give her so much credit. She came on board and she spent countless hours with us on Zoom day after day, just kind of like helping us get everything in an organized fashion. Because listen, I'm an actor. I can talk. I could write 30 pages. It may not make sense, but I mean, I could just, you know, spit it out. And she was really great to help us kind of make it all make sense. And, you know, it's really cool. Lex and I do like separate chapters. So I'll do a chapter and then she'll do a chapter and I'll do a chapter. And then at the very end, we both do a chapter together. And it's just, it's really cool to have our story. And we didn't spare any details. Like we talk about it from, you know, family stuff to personal stuff to some crazy financial losses that we had. And we just kind of put it all out there because to us, those are the things that are going to help change lives is when people are real, they want to see the real you.
Yeah. What If Love Is the Point? It's out now, released back in late June. And you have this new book. As I was just doing my research, I'm like, wait a minute. In October, there's another book coming out. It's a kid's book, Ocean's World, book. Right? Is that the name of it? Yeah. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So we have 3 kids, Ocean, Kingston, and Rio. And we moved to Maui when Ocean was 1 year old.
Those are amazing names, by the way. Amazing names.
Thank you. Well, I know. We're kind of screwed for a fourth because I'm just like, I'm like, how do you top Ocean, Kingston, and Rio?
Yes.
I had this. And again, this is all God. Like this whole book thing is all God's timing and us not forcing anything, right? Just like letting God do his work. And as we're having this conversation, you know, about what if love is the point, I'm like, guys, I'm going to throw this out to you. I have a children's TV show idea that I've been wanting to make since Ocean was born. What do you think about this? And they're like, we love it. Let's do a children's book. And it was like, wait, it was that easy? Are you kidding me? Like, what? So we have this incredible story about these kids, Ocean, Kingston, and Rio. And think like Dora the Explorer, but way cooler. And they get to travel the world. And in this first book, we are exploring Maui and they're in search of the sunrise seashell because they got to find it for their mom's birthday. And who is Alexa? So I guess I'm in the book too. And they go out and find it. And now we're like in talks about book number 2 and we're, you know, talking about trying to get them to go sailing. And I don't know, I'm just excited to take these, I guess they're fictional characters, they're non-fictional characters, but the characters in the book, to take them around the world and show kids like different places. Cause we love traveling. So like, you know, for us to, you know, have these books going to like, you know, South America and Ireland and Maui, it's just going to be some like really cool things.
That's awesome. That's coming out in October. I mentioned my daughter up front. She's 18 now. She's getting ready to go to college, remains a big fan of Big Time Rush. You guys are back on tour. You were 20 years old. Am I right on that? When you came into the show, 21, somewhere
actually,
in that range.
I was 19.
19. Right. So
I was 19,
that's
yeah.
What, 13 years ago or whatever it was. You're back on tour. So here's my question though. What's the biggest difference between that Carlos? In fact, if I told that Carlos that you'd be a 2-time author working on a third book, you'd probably laugh at me. But what's the biggest difference between that Carlos, that 20-year-old, other than, well, maybe you can't keep Jesus out of it, right? That's the biggest difference. But between that man back in 2009 and the man today?
I think between my wife and Jesus, I am so, like, I have so much security in who I am and in my beliefs and just security in general. Like I just feel so much more at peace and so much more grounded. I think back then I was still searching and I didn't know what I was searching for. And I was trying to find whatever that was, that fulfillment in so many different things. I mean, you know, I'm playing shows in front of 10, 15,000 people and you'd think like, yeah, that's it. Like you've done it. But then I would leave the show and I'd be like, huh, well, that was cool, but like, I want more, you know? And I believe after I, you know, gave myself over to Christ and I met my wife and committed to her and, you know, started a family, like now I see what the true value of life is and the true meaning of, you know, being on this earth and living for Jesus. And this stuff, like I always tell people, like what I get to do for a living is not my job. It's a hobby. Like these are things that like I get to do for fun. My job is to go around and share the gospel. Everything else is just a hobby. And that's kind of how I live my life.
Could you see yourself at the pulpit someday doing something like that?
If the pulpit looked like a stage with a microphone, like a concert, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd ever be like a pastor or anything.
Yeah.
But hey, you know what? I never thought that I'd have three kids. Like, I mean, so.
Or be an author to two books, probably.
Or be an author. Yeah.
Carlos, my last question is really just a shout out to my daughter and maybe some encouragement for her and any of those 18-year-olds that are headed to college this fall who are trying to live their life the right way, maybe the fans of your show. Can you give like some encouragement there for maybe Sarah, my daughter, and some of the others?
Yeah.
Some of the others.
Well, hi, Sarah. encouragement. You know, I used to get really, really down when, or very discouraged with no's, like a no for a TV show or a no from a girl that I asked out, or like no's used to really discourage me. And my mindset has shifted in a sense where like now, like a no to me just means that I got to work harder. I know it's kind of cliche and like everyone says it, but really like I don't think of them as no's anymore. I think of it as God going, hey, just like, not right now. Just hold on. Not right now. So, you know, as you continue through life, like you're not going to get the things that you want. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to get them right now. So it's okay. You know, and truthfully, God's timing is everything. Like there are so many things in my life that had they happened 5 years ago, it wouldn't have been as good as it is today. So I'm so glad that God made me wait those 5 years because I got to grow. I got to learn. I got to just like understand things more. And just trust God's timing, really. You just have to trust it.
That's good encouragement, Carlos Pena Vega. By the way, congratulations again. I know I said this at the top, but writing a book and releasing two books is a really big deal. So that's really cool. Congratulations on What If Love Is the Point, coming soon, Ocean's World, and hopefully many more. And all the best to you. Thanks for joining us here on Sports Spectrum.
Thank you so much.
Many thanks to Carlos Pena Vega for being here today on Sports Spectrum. The new book, What If Love Is the Point, Living for Jesus in a Self-Consumed World, is available now everywhere books are sold. He wrote it with his wife, Alexa. And this new kids book coming out October 25th called Ocean's World. That's actually his kid's name, Ocean. Such a cool name. All three of his children's names are really awesome names. So he's got a lot going on. He's just finishing up a tour with Big Time Rush back this past summer, out on tour with them. And so lots going on for Carlos, and what a great guy, right? Just such a nice dude. And spent a couple of minutes after we recorded the interview talking a little bit more, and I'm really a big fan of his now and super thankful that he joined us here on the show. I'm going to be rooting him and his wife Alexa on for all their future endeavors for sure. So thanks to Carlos Pena Vega for being here today on Sports Spectrum, and thank you as well for tuning in. Make sure you check out the website, sportsspectrum.com. Make sure you follow us on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And also make sure you click that follow or subscribe button on whatever app you're listening to this podcast on so that you don't miss any more episodes of Sports Spectrum's podcast. Thanks again for tuning in, guys. We love you. We'll see you next time right here on Sports Spectrum. I hope you all have a great rest of your day.